Where can you find trusted certified contractors, services and material suppliers, do-it-yourself information, podcasts of this and any other show, plus a monthly staycation to go on once all the work is done? RosieOnTheHouse.com, 24/7.
Step number one, the first point of entry to your home is where we're going to start. You need to make sure the shut-off valve works. And if you're in a condo, you need to know where that is. If you're in an apartment, you need to know where that is. Even if it's not your responsibility in an apartment to fix the water damage, you're still going to be pretty output while they're doing all the repair work and fixing everything. And if we can eliminate and minimize the damage, well, then we can get done with the project quicker. So you have to know where the water shutoff valves are to your, whatever residence you call home and you're residing in. For a home, we like to see what we call a ball cock valve. It's a 90-degree twist that shuts off. There was a gate valve. The old ones, it's a handle, and you would turn it. And the gate gradually goes down and gradually comes up. The ball cock, there's just less moving parts. It's a lot simpler. There can be, we talk about hard water in Arizona. One of the reasons we recommend water softening for our home is to eliminate that hard water buildup. Even in that case, though, it doesn't affect your shutoff valve. Your water, you're softening the water after the point of entry to the home, so your shutoff valve is still susceptible to corrosion and buildup, and it's a lot easier to break through the, any of that corrosion with a 90-degree turn of a valve versus a gate valve that slowly, gradually shuts. So make sure we've got a good working valve up front. You can replace. It's not a big project to replace it, but you would then have to know where the shutoff valve to your water supply is. It's wherever your water meter is. There's a shutoff valve there. They are hard to turn. The city has special tool used for it. As a homeowner, you can buy those, but you don't need to spend that money. If you have a crescent wrench and a screwdriver, you can accomplish the same thing. Just put the crescent wrench down over the top of the valve, tighten it down, and then use a screwdriver through the eye of the channel lock plier, and that'll, or not channel lock, crescent wrench, sorry, and that'll give you the leverage you need to turn it to off, and then that'll save you $110 on the, what they get for the tool at most, last time I saw, and that this was years ago. So that's where you turn it off at the main, and then you could replace your shutoff valve at your home from there. There's a little funny thing that it branches off to where you're kind of like, what's the reason for all of this? It looks like a little bell on top. That's your backflow prevention from your landscape. So we're not really too worried about the landscape at this point for today's topic. That's a break in your yard. If you're not on a steep hill where that's all going to flood your neighbor's house, it's pretty rare that we see an irrigation flood. And Clay has stayed, our insurance guy. Have you ever had to service a home damage from a flat, a home built on the flat desert surface from an irrigation leak?
We haven't, but as soon as I say that, right. I'm going to get a call on Monday.
The guy right. with the basement, like you said earlier.
Right. So I don't want to say that out loud, but I just broadcast.
We haven't yet. And you're a second generation insurance.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 40 years. Yeah. So yeah, we have not seen one yet.
So that's pretty rare. So we're not going to spend any time worrying about the insurance or the landscape side of things. We're just going into the home. So we've got a good ball cock valve installed now. The water goes into your home, and if you have a water softener, this is where it separates because we don't soften the outdoor spigots to our hoses. Usually they will plumb one by your garage, and that's for washing your car. You can do that so then you reduce the amount of wax you have to do. The waxing, you don't get nearly the water spots. But it would cost way... It doesn't make sense to soften water that you're using out in your landscape to fill your pool, to wash your dog, whatever it is you do on the back porch, hook up a slip and slide. There's no reason to spend the money softening that water. So there is a... From the water softener, then, everything going to every plumbing fixture in your home should be softened at that point. There's a water purification system that most homes with a water softener will have at their kitchen sink because, and sometimes that's not softened. Perfect case scenario it is, and then you've got an RO system for your drinking water, and you can use that. But every one of those places where the water leaves the inside of your wall and comes out to connect to whatever fixture you're using, there should be another shut-off valve there. And again, you want to test those. Turn them, make sure they can turn, make sure you can get to them. I don't know how many of you are going to or standing at your kitchen sink right now, open it up and look down. How long would it take you to pull everything out to get to it to turn it off? I'm guilty.
Your home maintenance on HomeZada, and I do this once a month. Go on every shutoff valve and just turn it a quarter away a couple of times, and that's it. You'll have it covered.
And turn it, but then turn on your faucets to make sure no water comes out.
Right.
So we know that it's working.
You just reminded me, I got to fix the two under my sink.
Because that...
True.
That copper line coming out of the wall after that shutoff valve is connected to a plastic hose. Those plastic hoses are what breaks more often than not, creating these problems. And we're going to talk about ones that are wrapped with metal that are braided. Even the inside of those are still rubber. And it's usually the hot water side that leaks first because you've got the expansion and contraction of hot water, cold water, hot water, cold water, hot water, cold water. Usually the hot water line bursts for the first because of that. Change in temperature, it's harder on the material. So what the braided will do is at the point the plastic does wear out or break, the braid will actually hold it together to minimize the size of the gash, which minimizes the amount of water that's leaked. Or I say gash, split. It's usually a vertical split. If you want to test this, plug the end of your hose, cut a side in it, turn it on, and see how it's doing, then wrap it and see how much less is coming out. It will greatly reduce it. But here's the one point, and one of our employees dealt with this as well. Somebody took the time and money to invest the extra few bucks per hose to buy the metal braided ones and still bought it with a plastic nut. What do you think broke? The plastic nut. And flooded the bathroom because it was the supply line from the to the toilet. So in that case, it was just, you know, plastic goes bad. Make sure you buy the stainless steel brass nut with your hose. There's no reason to spend the money for a braided water supply line and not get a metal nut. But I don't even know why they make them with a plastic nut. It's just one of those things you look at and you think, are they just trying to find a reason to fill up a landfill? So when you're attaching it, you can do it with a crescent wrench. Crescent wrenches are handy. I have them. I do like to use fitted ones better. They're just designed and machined to fit. There's no extra play that you get in a crescent wrench. Generally, we're not tightening water lines big enough that you would ever start stripping a nut. It's usually in mechanics and mechanical devices where that becomes a factor. So you really can use a crescent wrench because you don't want to over-tighten it either because you could damage the solder joint that's behind the wall without knowing it. That elbow where the water's line is coming out of from inside the wall, there's a solder joint back there, and you don't want to be cranking it so hard that you're putting too much pressure on your water line, creating a problem behind the wall you don't even know about. So In a lot of cases, strong enough hands can hand tighten these. And you'll know if it's good enough because when you turn the valve on, you'll see if there's a leak right there or not. There's plumber's tape. It's white. It's kind of a Teflon-ish. It's very hard to get on your threads and to stay there. But if you put a one or two wrap of that on, that's a lot easier to hand tighten because that adds an extra layer of water sealing. You've got two points to connect. You've got one to the shutoff valve, and then you have one to the actual faucet itself. And think about all the different places this exists in your home. We're going to use a two-bathroom home, pretty standard. You have three in there, one to the hot water of the sink, one to the cold water of the sink. If you've got a dual vanity, double that. Each one of those is a different supply, plus the toilet. So you have a minimum of three, at most five common two bathrooms. That isn't something that applies to the shower. That's something that's copper the entire time. They plumb it right to the knobs and the shower head. That's copper consistently the whole way. So showers do not apply. But you've got your bathroom sink vanity. You've got your toilet. Your washing machine, there's two more supply cables there, a hot water supply, a cold water supply. And this is something that drives me nuts when I say about why bother with plastic. Most washing machines, the thread that you're tightening this to is a plastic. It is a plastic thread. They don't come metal from the manufacturer anymore. That's why in my perfect home design, my water heater that also has water supply lines and my washing machine are outside. That was a brilliant design that they did back in the 50s. You would walk out to your carport, you'd have a little outhouse, and you've got your water heater and your washing machine in there. Bringing that inside the home is something that's pretty much just the standard now, but I think it was a much smarter design to keep those separated. I get it. It's a lot nicer to do your laundry. In Arizona in the summertime on the inside of your home. But for the water supply side of things, it's usually, we had mentioned that this is the number one leading cause to homeowner insurance claims in America. It's usually the hot water line to your washing machine that gives out first. Just the use on it, the constant time of day. I take, maybe a shower a day. I could easily do three loads of laundry a day. It just gets more use than our washing machine at our kitchen is the last one. So we've got our kitchen sink and then our wash. So adding all those up, I'm at 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 water lines for a standard two-bathroom home with a sink, a water heater, and a washing machine. For all of that, you're still not going to spend more than $200, maybe $250 bucks, depending on the length of run you need to get. Make sure you measure that before you go. You want to give yourself a little bit of extra line than you need, just so, if it's exactly, it needs to have flex. The way they come straight and go up, you don't take a straight tape measure. Take a tape measure you would use for fabric, something flexible so you can put a little bend in there and make sure you're giving yourself a little play to work with. If any of those shutoff valves look corroded, there's new pressure ones that you don't need to know how to solder, that you can cut off the old ones and do the pressure fittings on the new ones. They work great. They have a nice solid bond. It might be worth looking at go ahead and replacing your shutoff valves at each one of those points of penetration as well. And we're over on our break. Gary's screaming behind the glass, so we'll finish this final segment here at Rosie on the House right after this.